The title of my message is Clear Warnings for Complicated Times. Clear Warnings for Complicated Times. You know, we thought when I was young that life was going to get easier with the dawning of the automatic washer and dryer. My grandma had one of those round ones, I remember. She'd always warn me not to get my fingers stuck in the rollers. That's how old I am. Some of you have seen them. Maybe you've never been around one, but she had those. And when she got her first, automatic washer and dryer, she was like, life is wonderful. And we thought that as the years passed, that by the time, I got my age, I thought everybody would be kicking it with nothing to do, and life would be just constant leisure. But guess what? I think for many that's not been the case. In fact, I think as Americans particularly, we have a lot of irons in the fire. We have turned what was once a simple, quiet existence into a complicated maze of activity. In fact, I was reading some statistics there out of a book called Simple Faith by Charles Swindoll. And it goes like this. Every day in America, 108,000 of us move to a different home and 18,000 move to another state. The United States government issues some 50 more pages of regulations. I'm thinking a lot of us are familiar with that. 40 Americans turn 100 and about 5,800 become 65 every day and 8,000 try to forget their 40th birthdays. Every day in America, 167 businesses go bankrupt while 689 new ones start, and up to 105 Americans become millionaires every day. Every day, the Smithsonian Museums add 2,500 things to its collections. America's interesting little statistic here. Americans purchase 45,000 new automobiles and trucks and smash up 87,000. That's good, I thought. That's why they stay in business. 20,000 people write letters to the president every day, and more than 6,300 tragically get divorced, while 13,000 get married. Dogs bite 11,000 citizens, including 20 mail carriers, every day in America. That's probably growing. Every day in America, we eat, listen to this, 100 acres of pizza. Every day, 100 acres of pizza. That's a lot of pizza. We eat 53 million hot dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs. 167 million eggs, 3 million gallons of ice cream, 3,000 tons of candy. Now that's believable because the kids as well as we eat that. And we also jog 17 million miles and burn 1.7 billion calories while we're at it. Now, it doesn't require a PhD from Princeton to say that we are busy people. On the move, doing things, eating stuff, working, jumping, jogging, writing, marrying, divorcing, buying. Our country's busy. Our lives are busy. And I think in no place in the country are we really busier than in good old Southern California. I mean, think about it. The freeways choked with traffic. I mean, yeah, it used to be there were just a few hours of, it was called rush hour. Remember when it was rush hour? It's not rush hour anymore. It's rush hours, plural and quite a few for many, especially if there's an accident. The freeways are choked with traffic and the tension is reflected on the faces of people frequently. The air is polluted. The earth here shakes. The malls are crowded. The streets are dangerous. And you know, the more I travel around, I see that it's growing in even those rural communities. I read a little poem, I believe, that describes the current rat race. It reads like this. This is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash. The bright night with nerves tight, the plane hop and the brief stop. The lamp tan in a short span, the big shot in a good spot. And the brain strain and the heart pain, and the cat naps till the spring snaps and the fun's done. I think it's fitting description. People sometimes when I'm traveling around say, hey, do you ever think of moving and getting out of that place? I mean, I don't know how you guys stand. I'd move out of there. Man, when the people move in, I move out. And I can't say I've never thought of it. But you know what I've realized over the years? There's no place on planet Earth that you're going to find utopia. And listen, if I want to reach people for Christ, and that's my passion and my heart and my goal, I'm in a great place in Southern California to do that. Because God brings them right to you. I mean, it gets more crowded since I've been here in the desert. Some people say, oh man, it's getting too crowded, I'm moving out. I'm going, no man, I'm moving in. I'm moving in with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I'm moving in to the opportunities because we're all headed for eternity. This life is so short, man. Don't try and get comfortable here and think you're ever going to have it all here. Listen, there's tons of opportunity that God is bringing into this desert. And we are in the place to be a part of that. And we ought not to run away from it. We ought to be reaching out and embracing that opportunity to let people know that there's a God in heaven that has a plan and a purpose for them. And loves them, you see. It is not an inconvenience. It's a calling in my life. And I believe it's a calling in yours. As long as you're here, you know what? You might as well do what God has called you to do. Because there's plenty of opportunity in this sea of humanity to reach a people who have lost their way. Who are frazzled and stressed out with the timeless truths of Jesus Christ. You see, throughout this message, as we have been studying this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is trying to reach a struggling people who are caught up in doing it their own way and destroying their lives, who are caught up in religiosity and self-righteousness and hypocrisy, who have bad attitudes, you see. And we went through those attitudes. He says, hey, here's the way your attitude should be. He talks about mourning over your sin. He talks about those who are peacemakers and making peace. And he lays out those beatitudes, man. And we ought to hold those attitudes. And then how it should affect our lives, you see. He lays out the danger of hypocrisy. He talks about the treasure that we need to have our treasures in heaven. He talks about just what our life is to be like in our relationships one with another. Don't serve money. Serve God. But you got to make a choice. You see, he's warning against just living for your own things, you see, and living for external religiosity and hypocrisy. You see, if you're one that says, you know what, man, church, I'm here today, but I was forced here, I was dragged here. Why? Well, because there's so many hypocrites in the church, I don't go to church. Well, listen, God doesn't want hypocrites either in the church, but he loves hypocrites. He just doesn't want to leave them hypocrites. He wants to change them. And that's what he's telling these men. Hey, your righteousness, guys, has got to be more than the Pharisees with just this external kind of holier than thou looking down your nose at people, religiosity. There's got to be an authentic transformation of life based on what the living God has said in his word. You see, Jesus here in our text this morning is going to press these people for action. He's going to stop preaching and start meddling, as one man has said. That's what people think sometimes about me. What are you doing messing around in my life, Pastor? I came this morning and you know what? There's no way, unless you put bugs in the bulletins that kind of you listen to throughout the week, there's no way you could have known what's going on in my life. There's no way you could have known what's happening in my job and in my home. When you share this morning, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear. You're meddling, man. You're digging in. You're spying. It's the Holy Spirit. God is. He didn't give us a message to kind of simply enlighten us and entertain us and stimulate us. He gave us a message and preached a message that it might be practiced. The words here of Jesus call for a radical transformation. Not for us to look at this Sermon on the Mount like many do and say, hey, you know what? That is a good sermon, man. I mean, those are good things. A lot of people would concur with that. But He didn't give this message to us to be praised. He gave it to be practiced. It's not to be commended by people. It is to be carried out. That's what God wants. And so Jesus here offers us some either ors. It's not, well, you might think about this. You see, His words are calling for right thinking and right living, and there is no other option. We got to decide either for or against as He comes to our passage this morning. And so we begin in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The emphasis, of course, is choice. And here we see that there's a contrast between two kinds of righteousness and of devotion. There are two treasures and two masters and two ambitions. We have seen that previously, and now it's time for a decision to be made. Is it going to be the kingdom of God or Satan? Are we going to follow the prevailing tone and morals of the culture? Are we going to be Christians, a counterculture, convicted men and women, believers in Jesus Christ? You see, a lot of people want to hold to the thing that, well, all roads lead to God. And they call you narrow-minded. You Christians are so narrow-minded, man. And you know what? Some of us have cowered kind of to that. They don't like the idea that we can't rest with them not being Christians. That we're out there propagating and sharing our faith. Why don't you chill out? Why don't you cool down? You see, there are a lot of people that are more interested in kind of this equality mentality and this tolerant idea than they are in truth. What's right and what's wrong. And yet, that's exactly what Jesus calls us to. He came on the scene and said, there is an exclusive mentality to Christianity. And He lays it out very clearly for us here. And He says, listen, there are two ways. There's the broad way, and there's the narrow way. Now the broad, of course, you understand that term. It's not a woman, but it's a... And I don't ever recommend you use it that way, by the way. But the word means spacious and roomy. Some manuscripts combine this with wide and easy. There's plenty of room on this Broadway that Jesus talks about for diversity of opinions and laxity of morals. It's a road of tolerance and permissiveness. It has no curbs, no guardrails, no boundaries of either thought or the way you behave or conduct yourself. Travelers going down this road follow their own inclinations. That is, the desires of the human heart in its fallen condition. They're marked by superficiality in relationships, self-love, just out for me, 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 hypocrisy, a mechanical religion, false ambition, a real critical, though hypercritical of others. Those things, you see, they don't have to learn those things. We don't have to learn those. This Broadway, that's why it's easy. You know what? Every child... there's not a child that I have ever had to teach to say, you know what, honey, you need to be more selfish. You're just not quite selfish enough. You need to say mine more often. You see, that doesn't happen. Self-love, well, it's born in us. Superficiality. Not really very deep. Not paying attention really to anybody but you, a byproduct of selfishness. ADD. I don't know if I have it, but I think if they diagnosed me when I was a kid, I might have. Why is that? Well, because my dad, every time he talked to me, he said, "Will you look at me? You're not paying attention. You know, look at me. Pay attention. Do you see my lips?" I think the reason for that was I had a tendency to kind of wander off when he was talking to me. I think we all kind of do. I know wives know every husband has a certain amount of ADD, doesn't he? Especially if it comes to, honey, you know, we need to get this done. Maybe this Saturday we could. And then ADD kicks in like huge time. Like, I can't hear. Do you remember, honey, when I told you, you know, yesterday? No, I didn't. I made plans, you know. You see, ADD many times is a lack of discipline. That spells discipline if you can't spell that fast. Jesus says, hey, the Broadway, you just do whatever you feel, man. Just do whatever you feel. And here's where it leads. It will destroy your life personally. It will destroy your family. It will destroy your country, your community. You live like that, and it'll destroy your life ultimately. He says, however, there's another way. What's that? Well, it's a little harder. It's the narrow way. The boundaries are clearly marked. The narrowness, where does it come from? Well, it's due to what is called divine revelation, which restricts those traveling on it to the confines of what God has revealed in scriptures to be right, to be true, and to be good. C.S. Lewis, a brilliant, brilliant man. He described in his autobiography how, as a schoolboy of 13, he began to broaden his mind. And he says these words, "I was soon," in the famous words, altering, "I believe" to "one does feel." Have you noticed that? Those in the tolerant, Christless age that we live. Well, I feel, and that's my truth, and that's the way I feel it should be. And so whatever your truth is doesn't have to be in my truth, and my truth doesn't have to be in your truth. And you know, I am he as you are here, and we are all together, you know. Goo 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 joo. You know, it's just that kind of mentality. And he says when he first headed down that road from I believe and moved back to one does feel, he says, and all the relief of it from the tyrannous noon of revelation, I passed into the cool evening twilight of higher thought where there was nothing to be obeyed, nothing to be believed except what was either comforting or exciting. Sort of, you know, nothing is real. Nothing to get hung about. Strawberry fields forever mentality. You see, that's the whole thinking of our culture presently. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's no black, there's no white. It's all gray, it's all whatever you want to believe. Jesus cuts to the core of that. And the truth of God's Word imposes a limitation on what Christians may believe, on what goodness is, and how we are to behave. And that's not an easy road. That's a hard road. And yet, as one church father said, Christ's hard and narrow way is also to be welcomed as His easy yoke and His light burden. You see, as you follow that course, you benefit and are blessed. It's just like, what's easier, going to the gym and working out or sitting at home eating ice cream, cake, donuts, and bonbons? What's easier? Pushing the button on the remote control. Well, I think it's obvious what's easier. But let me ask you, what's better for your life? What's better for your health? What's going to enable you to function better? Taking a little walk, getting a little exercise, you know, doing a little working out, cutting maybe even denying yourself a little bit of the bonbons and the ice cream, you know, and that kind of a thing. Although that mentality, although we know it and we believe it and we see people that benefit from it, man, it's not an easy way, is it? It's not an easy way. But it, man, as it's practiced, as it's walked out, it's a beneficial and has greater blessings potentially physically. How much more spiritually? See, there are two ways. The broad way, the way the world goes. You just go with the flow, man. And then there's the narrow way. There are two gates. The gate leading to the easy way is wide, you know, and you can carry whatever you want with you. You know, I mean, any kind of luggage, any kind of idea or thought or kind of new age kind of deal and any kind of baggage. Man, you can carry through this wide gate. Your sins, your self-righteousness, your pride, your arrogance. Man, walk through, take it all with you. But the gate that leads to life, that one is narrow. It's like, go to the airport, security gate time. You don't take anything with you through that security gate. You got to leave it all behind, you see, and they've increased that. And the only things that you can take on the plane with you are those things that are scanned through the scanner and by law are okay and permissible for you to take on that plane. You see, the Lord wants us to enter into this narrow gate, leave the baggage behind, let it be scanned by the scanner of God's Word and say, hey man, what can I continue on? What has to go? But you know, we need to be willing to give up whatever it is that God would have us give up. We need to be willing to leave behind sin and selfish ambition and covetousness, even family and friends if necessary. For no one can follow Christ, the Bible says, who has not first denied himself. So there are two gates. One easy, grab it all, drag it all in. The other hard. There are two destinations. Psalm 1 talks about the man who does God's will, doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. He is one that is prospering. And he talks about those who are in that place of sin and ignoring God are perishing. Moses made it very clear when he says, see, I've set before you this day life and death. and evil and blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life. You got an option. Life or death. Blessing or a curse. Good or evil. You've got to choose. Jesus is saying the same thing. He's saying you got to choose, and one path leads to destruction. Now that word for destruction is a word that is terrible. It's the worst picture. He doesn't say hell, but that's what he's talking about. You see, God is the creator, Satan is the destroyer. And if this path leads to destruction, then it leads to the destroyer. A man was created to live and not die. But because of sin, guess what? Man has a sentence of death. Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and that more abundantly, that we might be given liberty and no longer slaves to sin, you see. Because God doesn't want us to go to hell. God doesn't want us, our lives, destroyed. He loves us. You don't want to see somebody that you love destroy their lives. You do everything you can to try and stop them. Christ has done that. God sent His Son to die on the cross, to share the message, to show the message, to make the ultimate sacrifice, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be saved. And He offers salvation to us. The alternative, though, is destruction. Is hell. Everything good in hell will be destroyed. Love, there will be none. A beauty and kindness, there will be none. Truth, no truth. No joy, no peace, no hope. And it is eternal. It's a place where the fire doesn't go out and the worm doesn't die. The most fragile creature doesn't die. And yet the fire burns hot. A place of eternal torment that God never designed for men. That God will not send anybody, but that men, by ignoring the signs along the road, will find themselves in because of their deliberate rebellion to God. The broad road is a suicide road. You see, the hard way, entered in through fellowship with Christ, Jesus says, is one where we share His peace and His joy and His love. And His life. Listen, here's the good news. This life can get tough sometimes, can't it? Maybe you're going through a period right now of difficulty. Listen, precious saint, know this. Though you're going through tough times presently, it may be the worst that you've ever experienced in your life. Can I encourage you? How? Please do. This is as close as you'll ever get to hell. It's bad, but it's not that bad. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, and you're going through some tough times, guess what? For you, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ, it's as close as you'll ever get to heaven. I don't think you want to do that. See, the good news is you don't have to go to hell. You can change your destiny. There are two crowds on this broad road. There are many that go the easy way. There are few that go the narrow way. But you've got to make a choice. You see, as we look here, he says, enter by these gates. One entering the narrow, the other entering the broad way. The idea implied here biblically is that neither crowd is ignorant of the issues, and both have been presented with a choice. The one goes to hell for all eternity because they just slipped into it. It will be because, just like today, some of you here without Christ, God has provided warnings on this broad road you're on. And here I am, a sign. I'm warning you this morning, don't go. Don't continue on that road. Perhaps the person that brought you here has been warning you. Perhaps you've heard it when you flipped on the radio at one point years ago. Perhaps another friend ran into you somewhere. Somebody's been talking to you about it that just, you know, out of nowhere they've come and they've said something to you. Hey man, you need Christ. You need to receive Him as Lord and Savior. You need to have your sin forgiven. Because if you go the way you're going, man, you're going to destroy your life. Well, it's not destroyed right now. Oh, but you wait. Stay on the road. You're headed down a road of destruction. All you got to do is look in the Bible at nations, at individuals who ignored God's counsel and lived in rebellion to Him. God hasn't put the guardrails on the road and the curbs and the markings on the road to make your life miserable. He's put them there to protect you. Great security and protection. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been driving down the road and they're doing construction and the lines disappear, have you ever done that? And like, if you're next to a couple of cars, as soon as those lines disappear, like nothing has changed but the lines, but you're going, ah, and then you find yourself, okay, where am I supposed to be, man? I don't. It's very insecure. I mean, it's kind of scary. You're going, this guy getting too close. But when I'm in my line, you know what? I'm comfortable. I'm. You know what? It's something that the guardrails are there. They protect me. You see, God has put His word there. He has told us, don't. And any time God tells you don't do something, He's saying, don't hurt yourself. If you do this, it's going to hurt you. Stop. Get on the narrow path. Make the choice to enter the gate. Look at the sign that God has given you today and say yes to Him. Quit messing with your eternal destiny. Quit living the life of slavery to sin and misery that you're living presently. Oh yeah, there's pleasure in sin. I'm not going to tell you that sin's not fun. The Bible says sin is pleasurable, but it's for a season. Ask any drunk. Fun until he wakes up in the morning with a hangover. Then he swears he's going to stop and regrets all he did. But he doesn't change. Listen, he doesn't have the power in himself to change. He needs Christ to make that change. You see, it's not about a religion. It's not about a bunch of rules. It's about a relationship with the living God who, because of what Christ has done on the cross, He has taken your guilt. He has taken what you deserve for your sins so that the Father can forgive you and place His Spirit in you and give you the power to change your life. Man, that's what God did to me. I'm no special one. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That God has worked in amazingly. There are many lives in this room. Today, if you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, now is the time. Today is the day. Don't walk out of this place saying, well, I want to be more open-minded. Stop it. You open your mind to pollution, opening it to a cesspool. A lot of people worried about what they're taking in their body and if it's clean, you know, as far as eating physically because they don't want to get sick. But when it comes to their mind, go ahead and dump in the pollution and perversion. And they wonder why the crimes are becoming more perverse. Children being abused sexually and perverted because of the junk we're allowing to pour into our minds. We need to clean them. We can't clean them, but God can. If you'll just give your life to Him. This morning, if you haven't made that commitment, there's no middle crowd, notice. There's the one on the broad way, the one on the narrow way. There's no like fork in, you know, Y there that it's where we can stand and hang out. You're moving along, and you're either going down the narrow way on your way to eternity and glory in heaven with the Lord, with the protection, the direction of God, fulfilling His purpose, or you're going down the Broadway, it's going to destroy you. It is enslaving you presently, and is going to get deeper and deeper. And you say, no, I can change it any time I want. No, you can't. You'll just exchange one sin maybe for another, but without Christ, you are destined for destruction. God said, don't go. He's done everything He can to stop you. The choice, Jesus calls, it's yours. You will make a choice today. If you've not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, you will make a choice today. No, I'm going to stay in the middle. I'm going to think about it. That's a choice. What facts do you need? Come up and talk to me. You see, you need to quit arguing with it and submit to it. God's right and you know it, and He's been calling you, and it's time for you to come. Don't walk out of here today without taking advantage of this opportunity to give your life to Christ. Let's pray.